He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing intern Casey interning. It's Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got a bunch of free stuff to get to. Obviously, this hour, as every hour, all day, we're going to be giving away on all of the shows 2 tickets to the Preds every hour. We've also got some soccer stuff to give away. Julian, you want to do that? You want to give away some soccer stuff?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't really want to do it, but I'll do it.
All right, Lord Almighty.
There's the Julian Council. That's 9 a.m. Julian.
All the joys in his heart.
Here we go. Let me find the copy. Gosh. Ugh. All right, people. So one of you will be lucky enough to go see the United States men's national team play Panama, and then afterwards watch Martinique play Nicaragua on Saturday, July 8th. Nicaragua.
Thank you.
So well done.
Saturday, July 8th in the CONCACAF Gold Cup at Nissan Stadium. So tweet at me, at Julian Council, the answer to this question. Which UEFA Champions League participant was involved in a bus bombing accident last week on the way to their game? Only one person was injured. They ended up playing the game the next day. Everyone's fine. But which UEFA Champions League participant was involved in a bus bombing accident on the way to
the individual or the team?
Team.
Okay.
Yeah, what team?
That is spectacular. Julian's just being really difficult. If somebody wins these, you should really take Julian because, A,
he needs a boo,
and, B, he really wants to go to this.
He does really want to go, and those are both true. He wants to go, and he needs a boo, but... Mm-hmm. I think he's made this so hard that he's like, you've made yourself almost ineligible for these because you're making it so hard on people that
I think
the questions I had the last 2 days weren't hard.
I think
those
it's fantastic.
Hard. This one's different. This one's
well, they're getting harder as the week goes on.
You know what? I think we should make this a new tradition.
Why are you getting angrier? The Predators are winning.
Like when we give away music tickets in general, we should start to make that more difficult too. I mean, we're not going to do that later this hour when we give away Snoop Dogg tickets. But
we should make people come on the show, and I guess it would be rap for Snoop Dogg.
So let me do it one more time. Mm-hmm. At Julian Council, which UEFA Champions League participant, so soccer club or football club, or football club, was involved in a bus bombing accident last week on the way to their match.
Now that we have
all parties involved are okay.
Now that we're giving that free stuff away, it is time.
It's by far the weirdest trivia question.
It is time to go unfiltered.
We all have our filters. Well, most of us. This is Fitz Unfiltered. Now, Jason Fitz.
I have found the key for Smashville. I have found the way Smashville can actually affect the product on the ice and the economy. Here is your job tonight and throughout the rest of the playoffs anytime there's about to be a home game. You need to go down to Lower Broad the night before the game, and you need to just walk around. And let me tell you, here's the number one thing you know. You know your Nashville Predators. You know what they look like. The number two thing you need to know is that most hockey players are really easy to find. They're dashingly good looking. They have perfect hair, and they're in some sort of like fitted suit that's always perfect.
Yeah,
that's
like long pointy shoes.
Long pointy shoes, dashingly good looking, very, very slim, very slender, very fashionable. That's a hockey player. You find that hockey player, and you get him drunk. I'm not talking about like a little tipsy. I'm not talking about a little, like they're all staying down town so they can safely get their way home. You don't get them drunk. You get them drunk. All right. Nashville, I was talking to people yesterday, has the ability to suck you in, and all of a sudden you wake up after a week here on vacation and you realize that your liver's dying. You no longer have a kidney and you have been drunk for 7 straight days. That's what this city can do. We need to do that to the opposition. That is the best way to get home ice advantage, is to make sure you're down on Lower Broadway hunting out hockey players specifically to get them not drunk, not tipsy, but drunk. That is how we can be, continue to be, the home ice advantage throughout and the best crowd in all the NHL.
Fitz Unfiltered brought to you by HelloFilters.com. Go to HelloFilters.com, enter promo code HELLO, and get air filters delivered to your door for
free. Home ice advantage, man. Get them tanked. Get them tanked. Get them smashed.
Do you think they'll be out tonight, or do you think last night would have been the right? Like, I think they would have been out last night.
They're hockey players. They were out last night and tonight. Right? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're hockey players. So
that's a fair point.
They are out. And
they don't work until 7.
Yeah. No, they're going to all be, you know, they're all going to figure they can handle it.
They don't work until 7.
I mean, if you really if you really want to be a great fan, you like, so Sonny and I threw a Olympic theme party last summer.
Of course you did.
After I got back from the Olympics, we threw an Olympic party.
Like a toga party?
No,
Olympics? Like original Olympics?
No. But we did have Olympic games. So we had competitions and gave out medals.
Beer
so,
pong and flip cup?
There was synchronized swimming, ribbon dancing, all sorts of things. I may or may not have won.
You had a synchronized swimming competition your backyard?
Yeah, in the pool. We had a synchronized swimming competition. But one of the things we did for that was we got a shot wheel. And when you spin the wheel, whatever country it landed on, we had the alcohol of origin for that, like whatever the famous alcohol is
for
each of us.
You and Sonny's ability to plan time planning for a party is like – unbelievably epic proportions.
The things she thinks of that are fantastic. I mean, that's
like the amount of shots you'd have to make for a large party.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of alcohol. There usually is. I mean, well, and like for example, if you rolled it and it landed on Japan, we had chilled sake. So you know, we had that. You know, if you landed on
sake warm,
if you during the summer though, when you just ran around,
you don't want hot sake in the middle of summertime.
And if you landed on Russia, you got vodka.
Okay.
So we had all those different plus other drinks. And so in that process, what you could do as a Preds fan is you can study, all right, get yourself like one of those little books and figure out, you know, like make a little book of
so
who's from where.
By Jonathan Toews, nothing but Molson.
Right. There we go. Anything, you figure out which person prefers what drink, and then you go out and you let Nashville just sort of Venus flytrap the opposition. And I think this is the home ice advantage that we should be getting all the time. Like we are mistaken by only going to Bridgestone on game day. You should go down to Lower Broad the night before game day, and then in essence you are creating home ice advantage. It's brilliant.
I cannot pronounce the national beverage of Slovakia, which is of course where Marian Hossa is from. I cannot pronounce this at all. I have no idea how to. Borovica.
So beer.
No, it looks like fruit. It's a fruit spirit.
So a shandy.
You think Crazy Town's got a lot of that
fruit spirits?
Sure, they'll make them.
Will you, Julian Council, please on Friday go to Crazy Town and walk up to the bar and say, "I would like a fruit spirit, please"?
It's an alcoholic spirit, the Slovak national drink. It belongs to a group of fruit spirits. It has the refreshing effects and strong support for metabolism. That's not what we want. We don't want more metabolism.
Wait. That's like, but you're reading.
It has a typical taste and aroma of juniper.
You're reading the equivalent of when we read articles here that's like, you know, one glass of red wine a day is good for your heart.
It is good for your heart.
Right. And everybody takes that into some sort of wine is good for you when they're
so
three
they drink
bottles
a bottle.
In. Yeah. One is generous around, you know, around my friends. It's three. You know, so one shot might be good for his metabolism. I don't think a bottle of it, though.
Borovica. And I'm sure I'm not saying that wrong. National beverage, that is Marian Hossa's drink. So get Marian Hossa some Borovica.
And if you can't find any of those things, you can always go with Jack Daniels. Because let's face it, that's such it's a Tennessee tradition to everybody. You know, you just go pour them a little Jack. And by a little Jack, I mean a lot of Jack. And you continually pour. Take them on a Broadway crawl. Be a good host. Say, you know what? We're going to see one song from each band, and we'll just order a shot in each one while we go. I mean, these are ways we can get up and down Lower Broad,
okay,
and we can help. We can help our team. We can help.
Fair enough.
That is, in essence, being the seventh man right there. I mean, that is.
I think Julian's got his job description for this evening.
Right. I mean, Julian and Buck Rising are down there all the time anyway. I think they're getting a like one of those stars on the new.
They pay
walk.
Rent at Crazy Town. You did get kicked out of there, didn't you?
Was it my fault?
It was an overzealous bouncer. Is that what it was?
Yeah, like all of them down there.
You've learned a valuable lesson. I hope you've learned a valuable lesson about how to behave.
I learned a lot about Slovakian beverages.
I'm just giving suggestions. Look, we'll take any advantage we can get in this process. We'll take any advantage we can get on home ice, and if the city can be the backdrop to the city can be part of that advantage, then I say good on us. We should do that, and we should make the most of it. I'm just trying to be entrepreneurial.
Okay.
Plus,
and the reason we came up with this, of course, is that Joel Quenneville told his team to disband. Go.
Yeah.
Go do whatever it is you need to do. and spend
which
some time
to me means
away
go
from the
go
team.
To the bars and go get drunk.
I am assuming for some of them that's absolutely the case.
And there were enough.
No,
there are enough bars with enough floors on Lower Broad,
you know,
they
could
do that and be alone.
You know what? Being down 3-0 would cause anybody to drink.
Well, hopefully it causes them to drink so much that.
I think they'll be ready, though. I think your pleas and ploys are fun, but I think they'll be ready on Thursday.
No, you just, you know what?
I'm guessing.
You know what?
It's just a guess.
I don't know what it takes to get him to buy in, Julian. I don't know. You know, I'm
bought in.
Poly positive over here. Poly positive. You know.
I bought in. I just live in reality.
Just listen to the oracle.
Tomorrow morning,
everything will be all right.
Okay.
All right. Well, look.
I can hear Inter Casey back there going, "God, you're
incorrigible." I do have a winner,
though. Incorrigible.
Oh, who do you have? Who won?
J.D. Smith on Twitter won, or Joshua Smith. He won because the answer to the question, it was Borussia Dortmund, the Bundesliga, the German Bundesliga side last week that was involved in a bus bombing accident on the way to their match against AS Monaco.
Which is an awful story, by the way.
Yeah, it was. And particularly, it was all over SportsCenter, so. If you watch SportsCenter, even if you're not a huge soccer fan, you would have found out. Clearly, it wasn't that hard because I got like 20 responses. They ended up losing, so they play today. You can watch it if you're a big Champions League fan. They play today in the second leg of their aggregate against Monaco, down 3-2. So hopefully they'll advance to the semifinals. Also, key, Borussia Dortmund has the future American star Christian Pulisic, who we all love and who will probably be playing this summer at the Gold Cup. July. Come on.
Is there anything we can do? You know what we can do? We can go to break. That's what we're going to do. We'll come back. We'll come back and get you updated on the NBA playoffs. Got a bunch of Preds coming in the back half also. We're doing all that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I can't spell it out for you. He's Braden, y'all. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. It's Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Julian spinning the hits. Intern Casey, like, the funniest thing is after the music fades out, I know it stays on in their room. I can tell because the two of them continue to dance. And so the amount of music love happening today, Julian has been excited for this day for a while, and now it's happened, Julian. So you're doing a heck of a job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do it for the people.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, man.
I think you do it for you.
So I did want to get everybody caught up because we said it in the update, but I think it's interesting because Chicago's sort of living two lives right now as a city, sports city. And I think it's really interesting the fact that they've lost all hope as fans right now. I think they feel pretty hopeless in the series we've been talking about, a 1-8 series. But then right in the same town, in the same scenario, 1-8 in another sport, they find themselves up 2-0 in pretty convincing fashion against the Celtics.
Well, a Chicago intern, I think, was tweeting out photos wearing Bulls gear, like, as of game one, right?
Oh, she's
like,
off the Blackhawks.
Like, she was off the Blackhawks bandwagon in a matter of, like, three periods, and then all of a sudden, you beat the Celtics one time, and she was tweeting out photos of herself wearing all of her Bulls gear. Now they're up 2-0. Like, is she just going to forget all about the hockey series that's going on?
I am 100% sure.
She'll be here soon,
yeah,
right?
She'll walk in probably wearing a Pippen jersey and off the Blackhawks, which, you know, it's fine.
She seems like a Rodman
kind of
girl.
You're right, though. I'm a huge fan of front runners, so if she wants to front run with the Bulls and get rid of the Blackhawks, go ahead.
Well, it's not really front running if you're a fan of the team.
Well, like, it is when you ditch the other team that you expected to win a Stanley Cup to go to the team you wanted not even make the playoffs.
But what I think is interesting is, so I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning before we went on the air, and it was kind of crazy to me when you think about the conversation they were having. The conversation is about, look, it's not just that the 8 is beating the 1, it's that they're systematically beating them. They're simply the better team on the court. And it raised, even at one point, Greeny said, I don't want to be that guy. But now you have to look at it and say, man, how far can the Bulls go? Because they are playing so well, and this is a Bulls team that has a couple of star veterans and then some young guys that are all sort of chipping in at the right rate, and they're all doing the right things. I felt like I was hearing the exact same conversation we've been having about the Preds Blackhawks with a flip to it. You know, so it's interesting to have one city have two sides of the same script.
I will end, since Mike Greenberg clearly doesn't know. Greeny's great. I think Chicago Bulls have zero chance of going deep into the playoffs, and I think the Predators have a very good chance of going deep into the playoffs. So I think there's a big difference between those two situations.
Well, he was making the case they could get to the finals to take on the conference finals to take on LeBron, where they would get smacked. I think that was sort
of... They would play the 4-5 winner, right? Because they would play the Washington. Washington's up 1-0 in that series on Atlanta. I think Washington is very dangerous.
Yeah, Washington's, I think, the sneaky team.
Is the very dangerous team in the Eastern Conference. And if Washington gets Cleveland, then I think it could be interesting. But I don't think anyone outside of Boston or Washington, I don't think Toronto is going to beat Cleveland. I mean,
no.
So I know Cleveland's kind of messed around a little bit in its series with Indiana, but it still seems like we're pointing towards Cleveland and Golden State part three, which is what we all want.
Right. That's that's the dream situation for pretty much everybody at this point. It is interesting. You mentioned the Toronto series and
people need to watch that though,
but they can't because they buried it. They buried like
Giannis Antetokounmpo, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But they, the last game was on NBA TV. So, you know, they're putting that game, they're burying that game because, you know, I would say probably partially because it's in Toronto. Right. And because
in Chicago, And Boston, from a brand standpoint, sells. I mean, I get that. I get Toronto, Milwaukee doesn't move the needle, but
Giannis Antetokounmpo. I did it fine this morning.
Just call him Giannis. Giannis.
No, see, the key is this guy needs his. You got to call him by his name now. Like Greek Freak is a great nickname. It really is, but he's too good.
Yeah,
we have to call him by his name.
This is the thing. Same thing with
Oracle.
Listen. This is the same thing with Connor McDavid over there in Edmonton. You have 2 years. 2 years to win your titles. Because after these next 2 years, Connor McDavid's winning all of them. Hopefully the Preds win. The Preds are going to win the next two.
They'll win the next two. There you go.
Yeah, the Preds are going to win next two. So we're going to
get careful, Oracle.
So they're going to get there.
Careful.
And then,
by the way, Connor McDavid lost 7-0 last night.
Doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Right now, these next 2 years.
Get to him now.
Okay. But in 2 years in the NBA, LeBron, Curry, get your championships now. Because after that, Giannis is winning all of them.
Dude is unbelievable. There's no question about it.
For the first time in my life ever, I really wish that I was the Milwaukee, the Bradley Center announcer, just so that I could say, Giannis Antetokounmpo! Just once. Like, that'd be awesome, just to do that.
Like, I'm reading all of the write-ups don't even put his name. They don't even spell his name in the write-ups. They're like, the Greek Freak. And I'm like, come on, guys. You're only doing that because you can't say his name.
And he has a brother, too. He has two.
There's two Antetokounmpos?
Yeah, so I actually went. His brother was like, he has like a middle brother who's not all that good. I was actually at his pre-draft workout in Charlotte.
How do you feel about that guy?
Yeah. But there's one at Dayton, too.
I would feel bad if I was the middle
guy. I'd feel bad, but the one at Dayton apparently is going to be pretty good.
I think it's interesting that Giannis has become such a big story, and it really does sort of support to the Oracle's conversation, which I think is just what I'm going to start calling him for ease of.
Thank you.
You know, so the Oracle's conversation is a good one because there are a lot of young players in the NBA that are about to be really worth watching. You know, so it's Giannis, I think, is at the top of that list for most people.
How old is Curry? I mean, honestly, how old
29?
Is Draymond Green?
Look,
Kevin Durant, like these guys aren't that old.
Listen, KD is going to be gone after this year. But listen.
Gone where?
Who knows? He ain't going back to OKC, but he's not going back to Golden State.
How old's Russell Westbrook?
Doesn't matter. Because he doesn't have the help. He's never going to get the help.
Okay.
Win him now, this year, next year. Because after that, Giannis is winning all of them.
Antetokounmpo.
It is the most fun name to say in all of sports, right? Can we
agree on that? He's the most fun player to watch. Like, he's spectacular. How old's Anthony Davis?
Anthony Davis is on the list.
He counts as one of the young superstars.
Yeah. He's 24. Anthony Davis is 24.
Antetokounmpo is 22 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely.
God, LeBron's like ancient. He's 31.
Well, and he's ancient, and Kawhi Leonard, by the way, 25.
Kawhi Leonard, but he's a superstar. So like I would count Kawhi Leonard as the superstar. And also young. He would be the head of that class,
but
right?
I think it's an interesting spot where, you know, Paul George is 26, Kawhi Leonard's 25, Giannis is 22. I mean,
Anthony Davis is
24. I mean, I think that
how old's John Wall?
The future of the NBA right now looks as bright as it has looked in a long time because there are so many young guys that are capable of playing for another 5 or 6 years. I do think there will be a changing the guard soon. I mean, I think that's a good thing because when you build your whole league around star power, you need the next generation to come up.
Milwaukee has some young guys too because you got Malcolm Brogdon, who was a great player at Virginia, who probably is going to be the rookie of the year.
You know the name
Thon
we forgot?
Maker.
Carl Anthony Towns is the name we haven't mentioned. That dude is a beast.
Yeah, well, they can't figure out the point guard situation up there.
That dude's a beast, though.
They draft a point guard every year. They don't even know.
Here's the thing, though. There's no, and I hate this, that it's even cropped up into my head, but you know that Adam Silver doesn't want a player named Antetokounmpo to be the superstar in Milwaukee. Like, you know that's, like, he's like, can you change your name to Smith and go to New York, please? Like, that's what Adam Silver would want. That, like, seriously, that's what would want they would want him to be this superstar in another place. That's why Paul George wants to go to the Lakers, right? He doesn't want to be in Indiana because
And he's throwing his teammates under the bus after every game. Though he passed up the game-winning shot in game one.
Porzingis, by the way, you mentioned the Knicks.
Kristaps
Porzingis is 21
years
old.
I would love to see Porzingis to Antetokounmpo. That'd be great. I'd be all for that.
Porzingis might want to get out of New York once his contract.
Nope, not if they're bringing Antetokounmpo to town.
Well, Giannis is staying in Milwaukee, man. He's going to it for the city.
Nope. He's going to New York.
I mean, but ultimately, isn't this amazing for the league in general? I mean, the fact that
there's a lot of stars,
there's a lot of guys, and they're in some places that haven't necessarily been the best teams for a little while. It at least makes Milwaukee relevant to a lot of NBA
fans. What is it about because I know the whole Paul George thing with the extra $70 million if he gets all NBA, and the media will decide that, and that will allow Indiana to give him a bunch more money in the contract, which is ridiculous, and we haven't even talked about much about, but. The bottom line is what is going to keep all of these players in places like Indiana, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, St. Paul? Like, what's going to keep these players in these places?
Money.
But they can go to the bigger markets and make basically the same amount of money.
Well, no, there's the thing for small markets for like Milwaukee, particularly because Gordon Hayward a few years back, like he got an offer from Charlotte, and Milwaukee had the opportunity to have 4 days a match, so it protects
Utah.
These small markets. Yeah, in Utah,
right?
But I'm not sorry, but like Utah had the opportunity to match, so it'll be the same thing with Giannis. The Bucks will like someone can offer him. And if the Bucks want to match your offer sheet, then they can. That's what helps.
I just think the money was. I didn't think the money was big enough to turn down a. Because yes, you can obviously win big in places like Oklahoma City or whatever, like quote unquote small markets. You can win big in the NBA.
Well, San Antonio.
San Antonio, by the way, which people don't realize is like the seventh biggest city in the United States. It's huge, but it is. It's to your point. It's a small market ish franchise. I think it's interesting. I didn't think the money was big enough to keep people from moving to major. Star power. I mean, otherwise, Kevin Durant and would have stayed in Oklahoma City. Like they were up three. People don't. They were up 3-1 on Golden State. Like they had a trip to the finals. They were one game away.
That's why people are upset. Also, what's the appeal of going to New York and LA right now?
Well, New York, you're right. I mean, trust me, I get that.
Yeah,
it's a dumpster fire from the top down.
So we got some free stuff to give away. Again, we're doing it. ESPN 102.5 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs as the Preds go for the sweep against the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. What you got to do every hour, every show is going to do this. We're about to give one away right now. Send us a photo via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram of you showing your Preds pride. Make sure to tag us and use the hashtag RockTheGold. So this hour's winner, the winner is Kevin C. on Twitter. It's at Kevin C60, who submitted a photo on Twitter. Kevin Cooper, a strong sock game. So Kevin coming with the sock game. Here's the phone number, Kevin, 615-399-1029. Again, 615-399-1029. One more time, 615-399-1029. And only Kevin needs to call. Nobody else.
And let me say something. Kevin Cooper literally has won Preds tickets like six times this season. He is always – every time he's eligible to win tickets, he calls the very next day or tweets into me the very next day. So, Kevin, congratulations. You are the king at winning Preds
tickets. Derrick Henry could use some of that awareness.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Just saying.
It's the awareness that gets you there. So, Kevin, you got 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call up to win your prize. I could talk. Coming up next, there's a rising star, and actually Kevin tweeted us a question about him, and some think he may be the next Harvey. We'll tell you who it is and why. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Ansel producing.
He's the Oracle.
It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can get to us on Twitter at Braden Gall. At Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz, at Julian Council. Intern Casey back there.
Goulet.
So,
quick, staring contest, go.
So, I got a Twitter question from Kevin C., who just won some fantastic tickets to Game 4. And he asked a question many of you are starting to get really nervous about, and that is Kevin Fiala eligible for the expansion draft? And the answer to that is no. You don't have to worry about that. Kevin Fiala not eligible for the expansion draft. And it's an interesting conversation to be having because Fiala has sort of – he's found it. Whatever we thought he might have at the beginning of the year, and he's gone up and down and up and down, it feels like he has found sort of his rhythm and sustained success, and he's just a natural playmaker. He's a natural scorer, and you watch it, he's fun to watch. He's part of this new generation. These are your new Nashville Predators, you know. So Braden and I were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago when we were watching him play, and it sort of hit both of us at the time, right? Like the similarities in the way his development has gone through a couple of years to the path that Arvi took to sort of get where Arvi is.
Yeah, no question. The kind of coming up and down, the age, the size. I mean, certainly Kevin Fiala. Now, Kevin Fiala, a more hyped prospect, I think, coming out from a talent perspective.
For sure.
Arvi has proven that he has the talent to go with the hustle and the work ethic. And that's what the questions were about Fiala. Not necessarily work ethic, but just how hard are you going to skate every second of every shift? And are you going to be there in the neutral zone and on defense? And let's be very honest. We were sort of fascinated by 56 from the very first practice.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know about the potential on offense. He's a legitimate goal scorer, a guy that can create on his own with speed and ability. And he showed it to us in overtime in game number one, where he had multiple opportunities to end the game, and he finally does it with his third chance. And to see him sort of develop the way he has, I think we started seeing the complete part of his game come together in the last couple of months of the season. Now he still has a long way to go. He's still very young, and he's got a long way to go. But there was a lot of similarities in his career path and trajectory and sort of even size and stature and ability than that of Victor Arvidsson. I do think there is something special about Arvi that is not really – you can't really replicate. But being around Arvidsson can only be a good thing for Fiala. And if he plays even half as hard as Arvidsson does – and with his level of talent, that he'll be just fine, and I think he'll be a big time second line winger for a long period of time for this team.
I think it's interesting that we really thought that, you know, Fiala could develop into the type of production that we're now getting out of Arvi. So it's interesting to be, you know, again, playing with house money. We use that phrase a lot, but it feels like the Preds now as a franchise are playing with house money with all the young scorers that have developed quickly. It's not just us that saw it. Laviolette saw it too. This is Laviolette talking about Fiala's development and comparing it to Arvi.
Well, I think he follows the path of a lot of the guys in the room in there, because there was a lot of guys who played great game. They might not have scored the game winner, but there's a lot of guys that have just taken a path coming in at 18 and 19 years old, or since being drafted, actually, and going through the development camps and, you know, maybe not making a team their first crack, or being sent down to the minors, and just the process that we've gone through with a lot of the players that are in that room. And this year has been an up and down year. It might be close to the way that Arvidsson's year was last year, when he went up and down a few times and eventually got to a point where he's stuck. I think Kevin's there at this point right now. And, you know, with that, there's a lot of growth as a person, a young person in a man's game. And then on the ice, too, because there's a lot of veteran players, especially in that Chicago team. And, you know, I think that you see that on the ice as well. So, you know, I think he's gotten to a point where he gets into games like that now, and he feels like he can really contribute, and we count on him to contribute like that.
The ability to count on some of these guys, I think, is one of the bigger things that we're now seeing, and it comes back to, you know, we talked over the course of yesterday that I feel like Lavi has flat out outcoached the Blackhawks at every turn, but I don't think that just started at the playoffs. I think that started, to his credit, to the things that we all saw and scratched our head at but understood at the end of the regular season. I mean, the guys that they can now actually rely on, it, and it feels like it's genuine. You know, we know that Forsberg can get two goals, obviously. Everybody right. knows that. But you also know that when Fiala's on the ice in overtime, the team believes they still have an opportunity to be aggressive and win. That says something that this Preds team hasn't had.
Well, and I think one player we have not really talked a lot about, very strangely, and it's because he hasn't really produced a lot, and he's very talented, is James Neal. James Neal has not really been an offensive factor. Now, the difference is sort of along the lines of Kevin Fiala and the development of some of these other guys that are taking more dependable roles. What James Neal has done is found other ways to be impactful on the game. He has I think he's second on the team in hits behind only Austin Watson in three games. So he's a guy that's finding ways to become valuable. That, like, we're used to James Neal being the sniper on the team. Like up until last year, he was the guy to score goals when you needed him to, and was a part of a 30-goal combo last year. So it feels like he's disappeared, but it's also because they don't necessarily need him as much, and that he's doing other things for this team. He's creating motion. He's pressing the tempo. He's being physical. He's a big dude. So James Neal, a guy that you feel like, hey, welcome to the party. Where you been? But it's actually because other guys have stepped into those roles of scoring goals. He's been able to do other things, and I give him credit for taking on that role and saying, listen, sure, does he want to score? Does he need to shoot the puck more? Absolutely. But he's now taken on a role where he can be a more physical tempo setter, and that's not necessarily always what he's done. And now they've got enough guys where he doesn't need to be depended on to score a bunch of goals.
It feels a little to me like with each of the guys, you want to look at the stat sheet, right? And that's how you judge everything. And I've heard a few people, you know, talk about PK in that instance where they're coming in and saying, well, you know, PK is not scoring. But then you look at what each guy's being asked to do, and it comes back to our question that we asked David Haw earlier from the Chicago Tribune. How much of Chicago's lack of success is because of Chicago, and how much of Chicago's lack of success is because of the Predators? I think that Nashville, I think some of these guys are being asked to do very specific things. So before I make any judgment on the, you know, lack of goals, for example, I want to see sort of what's being asked of the guys in the next series and so on and so forth, because presuming that this thing runs its course, there's a point where it's no different than if you are really, you know, we were talking about the NBA earlier, and depending on what team you go to, you're going to be used differently. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it feels like depending on what series you're playing, you're going to be used differently. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys continue throughout the playoffs, because I feel like what they're doing is what they're being asked to do, and that's why Chicago's not being successful specifically.
And it's totally true. It does seem odd though to look up and be like, "Oh, 18." Like there's 18, and it's not been needed. That's what's crazy about it. And I do think the difference between this series, and again, we're not counting our Blackhawks here before they're hatched, because they've still got to make sure they finish the series off, obviously, tomorrow night.
No, I'm cooking Blackhawks.
I think tomorrow night is important. I think you don't want to send this back to Chicago. I think you make a statement as a franchise if you sweep Chicago in the first round. I think it's a big deal. But you start to look at matchups against teams, you know, Anaheim, later on, St. Louis, whatever. There are different styles. It's not the same, and you're going to be asking, you know, maybe more of Vern Fiddlers and the Parentos and the Cody McLeods of the world. You're going to ask more of those guys potentially in a different style of series, and then how does Kevin Fiala fit in? How does James Neal fit in? How do these guys, what roles do they take on? Laviolette's done a great job with that. There's no question about it.
So we're going to get Willie Donick's take on it next, but first let's give away some freestyle. Caller number 5-615-737-1025. Going to win a pair of tickets to see Snoop Dogg and Dogg at the Ascend Amphitheater on Friday, April 28th. Ascend Amphitheater, Friday, April 28th. Snoop Dogg, caller number 5-615-737-1025. You know, the only guy at this station that's as cool as Snoop, Willie Donick. He's going to join us next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing and giving us these sweet, sweet tunes.
Over yet.
We're going to continue this conversation about the Preds Blackhawks series, and we're going to do it with one of the best in the business, Willie Donick, brought to you by Rodizio Grill, the Brazilian steakhouse located on historic 2nd Avenue, downtown Nashville.
As well as Global Motorsports in Bellmead and Cool Springs, and online at globalmotorsportsinc.com. Willie, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys, but I'm a little concerned that I've been overhyped. You know, as cool as Snoop Dogg, that's setting the bar pretty high.
Well, you were just talking about leftovers with Julian, correct?
Yes, I have watched that series, and I am right along the same plane with Julian, trying to figure out what's going on. Not sure exactly what it is, but I like it.
That makes you as cool as Snoop Dogg, because that show is impossible to understand, but phenomenal.
I've never even heard of it. That shows how uncool I am, Willie.
That's okay, Fitz. You're cool on another plane. That's okay. There's different ways to be cool.
So talk to me about, Willie, I mean, game four, sort of what you expect. I mean, each of the three games had their own identity, I think, within this series. The first three games all felt different. What type of identity would you expect for game four?
Well, I think Peter Laviolette did a very good job of setting the tone mentally with the team. And I think he's going to have another challenge here, because you've got that extra day off. You've got the Blackhawks sort of sitting there stewing. I think the Blackhawks, as I understand it, they didn't do anything yesterday. They didn't even meet. They said, get away from it. We'll regroup today. And so I think you just have to expect the best from the Blackhawks. They are a team that's got great players, a lot of pride, and I don't think you can expect them to just kind of go away without another great effort. So I think that's the whole focus, is to try to get back to doing what's got you this lead. And I think it all starts with the mentality of setting the tone with that Jofa line, that Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, and Philip Forsberg. That has been a line that the Blackhawks have really had trouble having answers for.
Willie, we talked a little bit about Kevin Fiala's growth, but we've also talked to, I just brought up James Neal in the last couple of segments here on the show, a guy that this franchise used to turn to when they needed big goals because he was one of the top goal scorers that they've ever had. And now it's almost like in this series, he's played a totally different role, and he's embraced that and been pretty good at it. What do you make of James Neal's play in the series so far?
Well, I think James Neal's played great in this series, and it shows, I think, there are ways to help a team even if you're not scoring goals. There's no question James Neal is a game-breaking goal scorer. He's got that in his repertoire. And if the Predators are going to go on a long run, you figure James Neal at some point is going to have some breakout games, some of those explosive games where he takes over. But what he's done with the physicality and with the passing that he's had great chemistry with Kevin Fiala and Calle Järnkrok. And I think that's been a big key to the series. If you look at the underlying numbers, not just who's scoring the goals or who's getting the shots, but the shot attempts, who's possessing the puck when they're out there. The number one line that's dominating the series is Ryan Johansson's line. The second most dominant line is Calle Järnkrok's line. And that's a great sign for the Predators, because that means that Joel Quenneville has got to go, he's got to keep adjusting and keep trying to figure out ways to slow those two lines down.
Willie, let me ask you, because so much of the conversation out of Chicago has been the things the Blackhawks aren't doing. Is that because the Blackhawks aren't playing well, or is that because the Preds are essentially forcing them to not play well?
I think you have to give more credit to the Predators than has been given, I think, in the national recaps that I'm seeing. I just think the assumption going in from a lot of the national pundits was that there was a big talent gap between these two teams. And there was a pretty big point gap. You got to give the Blackhawks credit. They had a dominant stretch over February and March that separated them from everybody in the West. And you got to give them full credit. But I do think that you could look at it and say they overachieved a little bit. And the Predators during the course of the season, because they were slow out of the gate in the first half, maybe they underachieved. But the real talent gap is not very wide at all, if any. And so I think you have to credit the way the Predators have played. I do think the Blackhawks probably feel like they can play better. And that's what you have to expect if you're the Predators, that you got to play that much better to finish them off.
Willie, obviously, Monday night, from a storyline standpoint and an anticipation standpoint, has to rank up there amongst the greatest moments in Bridgestone Arena history. For you personally, you've been around this team a long time. Where did that moment rank for you?
It was up there. It was definitely top five. And I heard you guys discussing this some yesterday on the show. I think the triple overtime game last year is hard to beat. That's got to be pretty high up. And I would say there were two other moments that I thought of when you guys were kind of bringing up the discussion. What was the greatest moment? Because take nothing away from Monday night. That was as good as it gets, no question. But the first playoff series they ever won in 2011, that was a huge moment, because there had been a lot of heartache and a lot of tough moments before you saw them break through and win a series. And then the next year to beat the Red Wings was a special moment too. But in terms of drama, last year's triple overtime game might be number one, and then Monday night might be number two in terms of drama, who you're playing against, and the way you came back and get a win.
So, Willie, let me ask you a question about the roster right now, because You know, obviously a lot of guys at the end of the regular season got some playing time, and now as the playoffs go, we found a group of guys that work. Essentially, for the guys that aren't actively involved every night, how do they stay engaged and how do they stay ready to come in if they're needed?
It's a really good question, because right now it's, you know, you got to keep going with what's working. And so, you know, I think of number one, Colin Wilson. Here's a guy who's a weapon and a key guy for your team that is still healing. And they've given – it's a luxury now for Peter Laviolette that you're not having to force him back in there if he's still injured. And so that's a huge thing. But down the road, if you can hang around – and again, you've got to win one more game here. But if you can hang around, the personnel probably will be forced to be changed at some point. So – the assistant coaches set the tone with the practices. Number one, you got to stay in condition, and that's not easy to do. You have to really skate hard and work hard in the practices, even though you know you're not going to be in the next game. And that's not an easy thing to do, but these guys are pros. That's part of it, because you just never know who's going to get the next call. But it's certainly a luxury that the way they have rolled from the start of the series has worked so well that you haven't really had to make any tinkers.
Willie, I think a lot of Preds fans are going to view Game 4 and they're going to say, oh, we got four chances to win a game. I feel like it's more important than the average 3-0 Game 4, because if you get back to Chicago and they happen to steal one and all of a sudden you're facing Game 6 at home, I feel like it's a bigger Game 4 in a 3-0 situation than average. Do you feel that same way?
I do. You can ask all those guys, and you guys – like to rib me about doing the coach speak, but I agree. I think you have to continue to assume that the Blackhawks have the tools, the greatness to come back and win four. The last time they were down.
See?
We lost him. That's what happens, you know?
He was saying that the Blackhawks have the ability to come back and win four.
And he's right.
I think Game 4 is huge. I think don't send it back to Chicago. Don't send it back to Chicago.
No, I'm polypositive. I'm all in on this. I'm 100% in. We do want to thank Willie Donick for coming on with us. Obviously, Willie brought to you by Rodizio Grill, the Brazilian Steakhouse on historic 2nd Avenue, downtown Nashville.
And Global Motorsports in Bellmead and Cool Springs, and online at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Even a slightly truncated Willie is still better than... Yeah, you like that. I went with the big word. Slightly truncated Willie is better than no Willie at all. So we appreciate it. And I get the coach speak angle of why everybody has a cautious optimism. I'm just an idiot, so I'm going to dive.
No, and that's the thing, is I'm with Willie on this. Finish the deal.
Scared. You are a little girl in the corner scared of a horror movie, right? All right? You sit in that theater.
Why can't little boys be scared of horror
movies? You know, that's a fair point, too. You are a little child scared in a horror movie. I'm not scared.
I am not scared.
Chicago can hit Nashville with everything they got.
I don't celebrate wins until it's over.
I celebrate the process.
You know what? I'm not going to be.
That's
Deshaun,
like not celebrating
I'm not gonna
a
be
touchdown.
Deshaun Jackson. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to drop the ball on the 2-yard line.
That's
don't
like
do that.
No, no, no. This is like not celebrating a touchdown within a game. Like if you look at a 7-game series as a game, then each of them is a touchdown, and I'm going to celebrate each of those touchdowns.
And that's so did I. I'm fine with that. I'm saying celebrate. But
why don't you just listen to the Oracle
tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Like the Oracle told you at the second intermission. It's okay. The floodgates are going to open. Toronto was down 2-0 earlier, and they won.
Are you referring to our esteemed leader?
No, I'm
Bud,
referring to me.
Who said they would score?
He said they would win in overtime. The Oracle said that they would be fine because Toronto is fine and the Preds are going
to
be fine.
You know what? I have all this peace in my heart because I listen to the Oracle. That's what happens. I listen to the Oracle. I have peace and joy, and the Preds are going to win this game. So
unless you need soccer tickets, in which case the Oracle's in a very grumpy mood.
So I don't know what 3D is going to do coming up next, but I do know they're going to give away tickets because every show, every hour is going to do that. Your next chance to win is coming up with 3D. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to be better than what we just did. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Do it again tomorrow. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.